Thank you all so much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is actually a member-to-member meeting. I'm Joyce Morgan, City Council Member, District 1, for all of you Arlington folks. And this is our other Arlington City Council Member, Al Ferrara, who is also the Chair of Waterways, and you guys have already been meeting with him. So Al and I decided we needed to get together, and we needed to kind of discuss this and get some kind of path forward so that we could let our communities know what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we are going to work together to make sure that we come to a solution that is good for everyone that's involved. And so that's why we're here today.
Thank you, Joyce. My name's Al Ferrara, and I am the chairman of the Waterways Commission. And let me kind of start back how we got to this part, because there's a lot of new faces here today, and I want to make sure everybody kind of knows how we got to this part. So during Waterways meeting, about 5 months ago, we had some people who came up and were talking about the rowing club and how they were worried about kids getting hit by boaters going by. That was brought up to our attention. So I was asked to take a look at this. We ended up having some committee members look into this, and for various reasons that I don't know exactly know why, some of the reporting didn't get back of what was happening and what the community of the boating community was doing out there. So we've had the rowing club folks come up every single meeting and say there's danger out here. We're concerned with some of the kids getting hit with some of the boats going by. So we looked into it. This went on for 4 to 5 months, and I made a commitment at the last meeting, not this past one, the one before that, that there would be some type of resolution coming forward on this intersection where the bridges meet on Arlington River. So the way this works in waterways is if there's a problem with the waterways, a lot of this falls under the state, not under the city. A lot of people don't realize that. So anytime that something has to go through, we have to get the state involved as well. So there's no immediate action that happens on any of this stuff. So I went ahead and I filed a bill on putting in some signs with our attorney, Ms. Grandin, who's at the end here. And that's how this started, where you guys started getting a little bit more involved, to where I put out a bill and the community came out and said, you know, we are not support of any of the slow speed, because a lot of people call it no wake, but it's really a slow speed sign that would go up. So I said to the meeting last week that we would go ahead and defer this bill and make sure that we heard from the community of what would be advantageous for everybody, for the boating community and for the rowing club. So Ms. Morgan was getting inundated by a lot of the calls on there from the bill that I put in there. And I wanted everybody to understand that we had people coming up and telling us that we had kids in danger from boating. So as elected officials, when we are told that and we look into it, you know, we want to make sure that that's not the case, and if it is, that we're able to do something about it. So what I did is I told Ms. Morgan that we would go ahead and have a meeting, and what I said at the meeting as well, that we're not trying to do anything rash or quick, but we want to make sure that we're not putting anybody in danger here. The other thing that's important that I'm finding out is it seems like there may be something happening, and I'll share this with you, Ms. Morgan, is that the community would like to keep their boats moving through this channel a little bit quicker and want to work something out with the rowing club, to where I wanted to have another meeting separate from this meeting and separate from the meeting that you're talking about, your town hall, that we have the residents from the area to come in and speak about this. The whole idea of this is to make the intersection safe. That's what I want to make sure that we're doing. That is my number one priority, to make sure that we're not endangering anybody. But secondly, that we as 19 elected officials do not come into your area and say, this is what you're going to do. That's not the goal. The goal is to make sure that the kids and the people who are rowing are going to be safe along with the boaters. So I wanted to explain how we got to this point, to where we're at right now. So it wasn't something that was a knee-jerk reaction that one meeting happened. And this has been going on for months. We had people that were supposed to be looking into this. The Waterways Commission is, it's got three elected officials, and the rest of people are volunteers. Sometimes volunteers can't meet, and things come up, and meetings get pushed further, or something comes up and they can't make it. So I wanted to let everybody understand how we got to this point. I did go over to the rowing club to see what was happening myself. It was a rainy day. And so anyhow, this is how we got to this meeting. And I just wanted to assure people that we're not trying to push anything forward. However, I want to make sure that while I'm on council, somebody doesn't get hurt or killed because of something we don't do or something that we do. So
right, and not responding to our community. And I think Al and I both, take that pretty seriously, is kind of responding and making sure. And that was why I said not only this meeting between Al and myself, but I have a monthly town hall meeting. And so if necessary, we all can talk about this again at the town hall meeting. I mean, and then, were you there when I was at the head race? You weren't there, were you? In October?
I would have been there, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I came down to the race and, blown away by what I saw. Just absolutely. It was really magnificent seeing all of the rowers out there. It was really, really good. But I asked Miss Grandin to come, and we actually have some money men back there, the auditors, too. So everybody, usually when we get into whatever we're going to talk about, we try to bring as many people as possible to be a part of the conversation. And so even though I could not come to the meeting last Wednesday, I did go back and listen to the video and audio of what was being said, and I heard some interesting thoughts from Ms. Grandin, who is with our Office of General Counsel. And so I definitely wanted to bring her into this conversation because she has perspective on it that maybe I don't have, Al doesn't have. Al and I have only been here 7 years. She's been around and she's done stuff like this before, so I just wanted you to join the conversation, Ms. Grandin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. What would you like me to go through first? Like, what were some of the comments at the last Waterways Commission meeting?
Or yes, I was really
back 30 years ago.
Well, 30 years ago, and so she, like I said, she really has perspective. But just some of the comments that I heard from your meeting, Mr. Ferraro, were about not particularly wanting both sides, just the accessory side. So if that's a thought, we can start there.
Well, Councilwoman, yeah, that certainly is a thought, and I believe that's what the rowing club, the First Coast Rowing Club, brought to the table to begin with, and then we're just looking at it and said, well, gosh, the University Bridge is just right there. I mean, does it take in the whole thing? Anyway, so as a municipal ordinance, we can go 300 feet on either side of the center line of the bridge, whatever bridge, that meets certain criteria. Like, it doesn't have a certain vertical clearance. It doesn't have a certain width in between the pilings that you would travel under with a vessel. So both of those bridges fit that criteria. But when you draw it on a map, the 300 feet on both sides of Accessory Bridge and the 300 feet on both sides of University Boulevard Bridge, there's a little pie-shaped piece that's left out. So that was a question, like, what should we do about that? Mm-hmm. So there's different ways to handle it as an ordinance that doesn't have to go through the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission for them to approve it. Just as a local ordinance, we could do 300 feet on either side of the Accessory Bridge. If you're looking for some middle ground, I'm not sure if that's what you're getting to, but if you're looking for middle ground, that might be a way to do it. If we were to take into consideration the whole thing that's mapped out there. My discussions with FWC, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, is that we'd have to go through another little process, another step, to get the pie-shaped piece filled in. And it might actually even be, we may be able to, depending on what they thought about the launching areas, because that's what's in the statute, that the rowing clubs might actually be a launching area, so you could go 500 feet away from the rowing clubs. So there's all kinds of things that we could do differently. We could really skinny it down, or it could get pretty big. So bigger than that. That's kind of the middle. But if you wanted it lesser, probably the Cessory Bridge would be the one we could do just as an ordinance.
I don't know if you have, when you do waterways, if you have people who can talk to safety issues based on where, what time of day, that kind of stuff.
So one of the things, just kind of going back on other parts of areas over on Shad Creek, you know, every area is different.
Mm-hmm.
Shad Creek wanted a large no-wake zone or slow-speed zone. Parts of over in Randy of DeFore's area on District 14, it was a combination. So one of the things that we looked at, and since that meeting, I've had conversations with neighbors out here and boat owners who were saying, is there time limits that you could put on here? Mm-hmm. Is there flashing lights? That was something that I was bringing up to Ms. Grandin, to where perhaps it's not a 24-hour slow-speed zone that during certain hours or certain parts of the channel. So that's why we kind of just said, let's just defer this and let's talk with the community about this, because this, just like every other part of town, communities like to have certain things there, but that is something that could be done. It could just be on the one bridge. It could be, and that's one of the things I asked Ms. Grandin to look into, if there were ways that we could get with Public Works and have a light if it was on at a certain time during events and things like that. So the idea was to try to come up with something that worked for the community, to where it wasn't just one-sided, but it fit. Or something that we could do with lights if there were special events that came up. Something I think is important that needs to be brought up, and I'd be happy to bring it up at the other meeting, is it just seems like to me the communication between the club and the residents, if it's not there, it's kind of needs to be fixed, because I'm hearing bits and pieces from everybody. And what I want to do is make sure that there's a way where the community, along with the club, work together on this waterways, because you have to use it. And part of what I've been hearing is, you know, well, it wasn't like this, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And this is to me like a roadway, to where we have a lot of traffic coming through. And for whatever reasons, as our elected officials, now we have to deal with what's in front of us. And what we want to do is make sure that it works for the community and works for the club, to where it's not us coming in and saying, this is what needs to be done. What we're trying to do is saying, let's try to put all the options on here that work for everybody, to see if there's time limits, to see if, as things come forward, I think with the club, they put buoys out at certain times for races and things that the community knows what's to be done. The reason I'm bringing it up is, in the last week, I have heard from more residents and people who are in the rowing club of what they want to see, but when I've talked with other people, it seems like nobody's ever heard of this stuff before. And I think communication might be the solution of a lot of the problems, and I think it's just not knowing of what's happening out here is, you know, if you're a resident and you're planning on having a boating day, and all of a sudden it's affected because you've got a lot of people out there on the rowing, that affects the residents. Or if the rowing club is planning on having something, vice versa, and all of a sudden these boats show up and it affects the rowing. My point being is, as somebody just sitting back who has, you know, nothing to gain or lose from this, I'm just kind of hearing from both sides of what we could do to make this work better for the residents. And I think actually having these meetings is probably a better thing, because You know, it's two different types of boating completely.
Right, right. So. And, you know, for me, one of the things I wanted to do at this meeting was really just hear from Councilmember Ferraro on just some of the things that have been going on. And so was the meeting that you had last week, was that the first time that they really had an opportunity to speak?
No, the last week what happened is I actually filed the bill. I got with Ms. Grandin, and we were looking at this, and that was the first time that the bill came forward.
Okay.
So the rowing club has been at probably the last 5 months of our meetings.
Okay.
Talking about a no-wake zone or a slow-speed zone, and they were concerned and invited us, all the waterways committee members, to come out there and to see what they had and what there was to offer. Normally I see it from the bridge driving by, but I actually went there and took a look. I've been by there with my jet ski and boat. So I had some familiarization with it, but not as the club where they have the kids out there. So being out there, seeing all the kids, and knowing what they're telling me, I didn't see anything happening where kids were in danger, but hearing about it really kind of struck my interest to where I wanted to find out more about it. But that's kind of how we got to this point. It was a bill that I filed. The neighbors came out who were concerned that this was going to be pushed forward, and I assured them that I want to hear from the community. I'm not looking to come in and dictate what needs to be done, but I want to make sure that, you know, when the kids are in the water, that they're going to be safe, and I want to make sure that the boaters are safe to where, look, if somebody gets hurt, it really doesn't matter the meetings. It really doesn't matter the signs. If somebody gets hurt, it's kind of at that point we failed, and I don't want to be there. And that's kind of how we got to this part.
And so as far as we know, have there been close calls?
I've heard there has, but I don't have records of that. So, you know, being that it's put in our lap right now, when it came forward and it was put in the waterways lap,
That's appropriate.
Yeah, we had the decision of either doing nothing or trying to move forward with it. And this is kind of what we came forward, and we looked at things where there were the pie shapes and all these different things, and we just said, look, this is what we could do, and we put it out there. And at that point, we really started hearing from residents. Before, we really weren't hearing from any residents, probably because you guys have jobs. And all. Yeah, so now that everybody knows about it, we want to see what we can do to work through this to where we have something in there to protect the rowing club, but we also aren't being so protective that we restrict boaters from being able to do what they're, you know, going by. So there has to be a happy medium. I think the communication so far with me, man, my phone has been blowing off the hook of, you know, people wanting to talk about what they'd like to see. And that's why I got with our general counsel to say, what kind of options do we have? I know that this isn't perhaps done in all these different areas, but if it works for this area, we'll work at making it work for the rowing club, make it work for the residents. We'll see what we can do to make it work for everybody. And I'm sorry that you weren't notified about this. And one of the things I really wanted to impress to you is that when something happens in the waterways, usually we're worried about how we're going to deal with the state, mm-hmm. not districts, because actually we just look at all the waterways.
Water.
When Pottsburg Creek had the JEA spill in there, I mean, we just kind of dealt with JEA and the environmental impact. We didn't really go to the district. So it's just how we've done it for the past 5 years.
And that was kind of how I got in it as well. But I think the biggest thing is what we do and how we move forward, because number one is I see the people in this room, I see folks that I believe are good neighbors, you know, good neighbors. And if we're good neighbors, that means we're good neighbors at all times, not just when it's to our convenience to be good neighbors. And so That's the premise that I always work on when I'm starting on bills, and that's why I definitely wanted to get together with you. So my directive was this. I needed to talk to Councilmember Ferraro first. And as we talk, according to how much time we have, I wanted to hear from you as well. And I believe that we have enough time so that we can do that. And like I said, I listened to what you had to say during the Waterways Commission meeting. And now you're here with us, and I would be more than happy to listen as well. Keeping that in mind, we have 7 cards, which if I do 3 minutes each, then...
It's a timer.
Yes.
I've never been to one of these.
Oh, let me explain.
But I have a question.
Sure.
Do I ask questions first, or do I ask the questions?
You mean questions as in procedure or questions about the bill?
So,
thank
she
you.
Needs to come to
it's actually...
Yes, please come to the microphone and state your name. Thank you.
I guess it's a clarifying question.
Clarifying, okay. And maybe somebody else has the same clarifying question.
These meetings are usually recorded so we can go ahead and listen back in case somebody else wants to hear.
So my question, I think...
Excuse me, name first.
Lisa Almeida.
Okay.
Address.
And and you're the first one, so...
Okay. Well, and I live at 310 Tuckerton Lane. I live in between the Atlantic Boulevard Bridge and the Cessory Boulevard.
Okay.
So I think my question is for Ms. Grandin. And the question is... At the Atlantic Boulevard Bridge, there is what is called, I think I understand it, as a slow zone. So it's less feet on one side and more feet on the other side. It is not exactly 300 feet on each side. Are you aware of this?
No.
Okay. So I think that would be something of interest to explore. So it's a different, it's not the 300-foot buffer. So it's a shorter buffer on one side than it is on the other side. So that was question number one. I just want to make you all both aware. This is not, or all of you, this is not just about the residents. We have to remember and include every single boater that uses the Beach Boulevard ramp. There are a lot of those are included in this because they're using the Beach Boulevard ramp to launch and come through where we are out to the St. John's River. So those people also need to be included because they are using that waterway as the waterway. The question that I have is I've lived on this creek since 1989. And since 1989, I've taught hundreds of people to water ski and wakeboard and everything else, I have seen a significant amount of less traffic on the river compared to what it used to be. I live right there. It's in my backyard. And as a matter of fact, all of us boaters have the conversation with each other about how there's not near as much boat traffic as there has been many years past. So I want to challenge you, and we do know that the boater registration numbers are way down in the 10,000 numbers. Now, I know all of those registered boat owners are not coming through this area. However, it is indicative and significant. And as a matter of fact, during COVID was the most boat traffic that I had seen in years. But that has way since gone down now that we're back to, you know, doing activities and open and things like that. So I would challenge that thinking. The 300 feet, oh no, the pie-shaped piece, you're saying as far as the rowing association calling that a launch area, my understanding is that launch area has to be public in order for that law to be true, and I don't believe that is public. I could be wrong. I'm challenging on that piece of information. I like the idea of the flashing lights. I like the idea of maybe somehow directing. So, like, even myself, since all this has begun, I have now started going. So there's, like, I don't know what you call them, rungs, I'll say, of bridge. I've now started going, as long as it's mid to high tide or navigable for my boat, over further away from the docks as I go through. Oh. That's a new practice for me. So, you know, maybe some sort of pathway or something like that of letting people know. And I just wanted to reiterate to you, Miss Morgan, or Mrs., is it? Sorry.
That well, we, I'm Morgan Danford.
So we, the boaters okay. just found out about it in the last couple months, and that's why we weren't at the meetings before. We didn't
okay.
know.
Well, we will have right. lots of meetings, so thank you. Okay, time is up.
Awesome. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. Those were great, great points. Okay, and is it David Bales?
Yes. We're doing 3 minutes. So.
Oh, you have a show and tell? Oh, okay.
I'd actually like to
start with your name, please.
I'm Davis Bales. I'm the director of First Coast Rowing Club. And much of what I've said has already been said and recorded. I was hoping to defer my time so we don't run out of time to some of the new people here.
Oh, okay. That's perfect.
I do want to mention that we never refer to our dock as a launch area. So I think there's some misunderstandings as to what we did or didn't refer to. We loved the idea of including University Bridge, but that was a commissioner's suggestion, not ours. So I just want to make sure that it's clear that we never asked for a lot of the things that we're getting. We simply were asking voters to slow down in that area. We've heard everything from this will cause congestion, which I'm not sure how. We're not talking about a traffic light, to adding lights for certain hours. And I've made it clear that's great for the kids in my program if it is a slowdown during the time that we're out there. Mm-hmm. But we're not the only ones out there. We're not that self-centered. There are boaters of various ages that are out there at different hours. There are kayakers out there. There are stand-up paddlers out there. It's not just us. But that bridge is a danger zone in my view, but not my personal experience of witnessing. I've only witnessed close calls. That's why I'd like to defer my time to perhaps my neighbor who has lived there and seen these close calls. Rather than mine, repeat the same thing that I've always said, which is I just want people to slow down for 600 feet. If you can make it twice that distance, fantastic. I just want to avoid an injury. Mm-hmm. To us, to a boater, to anybody else.
That's good. And we thank you for that. And so did your neighbor already fill out a card?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, then I'll get to him. Is that Daniel Bierman?
Yeah.
Okay.
How did you get the cards in perfect order?
I don't know. You know I have it like that, right?
That's good staff work.
Thank you. Thank you, Chet.
How are you?
Good.
My name is Daniel Bierman, and I am the owner of the dock next to the rowing club. Retired. I'm about there every day 2 to 3 times. I've got 3,000 hours out on our rivers, and I've done about 9 rescues on our river, 15 rescues throughout Jacksonville. And we almost had a death over the weekend. So there is a lot to talk about, and I have imperial, and I have data. And I also have pictures of what's happened there with boats capsizing and something very, very serious. And I don't want to talk about the rowing club right away. There are other issues there. Number one, there are kids. If you've seen where I am, there's 4 docks along there, and there are kids that swim there. And because that's a very narrow area of navigable waters, that we only have the port side marker there and not the starboard side, boats come very close, within 10 feet of the dock at full speed. And I'm very, very concerned about not only the rowing club, but the kids that live there and swim there as well. Also, what's recently happened that's new this year is wakeboarders are going through the bridge at full pop, and almost one hit one over the weekend. Came within 2 feet, and I thought that was going to be a certain death. And I'm very concerned about that. I'm also concerned about the boats that pull kids on floats through the bridges.
Not really. I don't do
it. No, I know exactly where you are. Lisa doesn't. But we do have other people that pull through there 35, 40 miles an hour, and they should not be pulling kids through
right.
there. And that's a great concern to me. Also, we have speed boats now doing 70, 80 miles an hour past the dock. And I pulled a few of those over and kind of read them their rights as to slowing down. And I've had FWC stop by the dock. I always stop them over so we have conversations. Sheriff's Department, everybody's been to the dock, and we have long conversations about what's going on in our river. Jet skis are a serious issue along with these speed boats. I've had a jet ski over the weekend hit the pylon. And very serious injury, and the jet ski is totaled. And I was on the dock at the time, and the minute it hit, I knew exactly what that sound was, because I've heard boats hit the dock, hit the pylons before. And if I hadn't been there for a rescue, the jet ski would have sunk, and they were both in shock. Pulled them to the floaters, administered what I could in the sense of making sure they were stable, and then obviously called their parents, although they were probably in their 30s, to come and take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is, because we don't have a minimal wake or a slow zone or no wake or whatever you want to classify it as, the jet ski was lifted up on the side and thrown against the pylon. And the woman was thrown against the handlebar. She had lacerations going down her chest area, her neck area. Again, very, very, and again, I had to stabilize her really quickly because they were so in shock, I doubt if she'll even remember.
So to me, what we're hearing is that, I hate to say it, but people aren't being careful.
No, they aren't.
I mean.
100%.
They are trained, and they admitted that they're new to jet skis, and these were brand new jet skis.
Yeah.
They haven't done enough training. So
I mean, they're not being careful.
Unfortunately, we can't legislate common sense.
Yeah, and so that's our issue.
I've trained enough people on jet skis to know that you put them on and they go right and
again. Exactly.
So your house is right next door.
I'm right there.
Is that the lit up at night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Now I know the guy. Okay.
And I've got an infrared camera at night, so I get to see all kinds of interesting.
Oh my. Okay.
So I get to see what's going on. And again, that's why I've done 9 rescues there, and it's amazing what's happened. Whole other story. Also.
Oh, nope. Your time is up. But thank you. Oh, yes.
And that's why I want to make sure we have another meeting to where we have enough time for everybody to talk.
And I have the data. I have pictures, and I have the data to prove it.
And that's perfect. So thank you. Okay. Ozzy Yavari. Well, as long as they fill out a card, everybody can have time. Can't do that. Yeah, whoever has a card filled out, we'll do. If we have more time, we'll come back. Thank you. Yeah, we'll come back, Ozzy.
Waterways meetings, and I've said the same thing. One of the things I want to say about the time limits, just to reiterate what our coach said, is that it isn't just about the rowers. It's about the whole community. Just as you heard, there's Sundays that things, that terrible things can happen. We have had this conversation, I think, in March, when we talk about communication with the boaters. We spoke to Ms. Almeida when we walked out of the waterways meeting, that first meeting in March, and our understanding was, because they thought we wanted to do like a no wake or slow wake the whole stretch of the river, and when we clarified that no, we're just concerned mostly about the danger areas, which are the blind turns, our understanding was that we were in agreement. And in fact, when I called your office and spoke to your assistant to ask about what was next, she said, I thought you guys figured all that out. I thought that was all clarified. And when I explain, okay, well, even if we had, we still don't have like a slow wake or no wake zone. So we have tried to have communication. The other thing that I just want to bring up is that although that the voters say that they didn't know about the meeting, they were there the very first time we were there. We just happened to go to every single one. And for some reason, I guess maybe they weren't as concerned as we were that something was or was not happening. So I just want to clarify that there has been intensive communication, and our initial impression was that we were in agreement that accessory area is dangerous and slowly going to affect them.
Thank you. George Hill is next.
I'll give my time to Lisa.
You can't do that.
You want to lose me as a neighbor?
No.
That's it.
Y'all must have seen that on the House of Representatives or something. I yield my time to the fine gentleman from Kentucky. No! We don't really, do that.
This is the time we want to hear from each one of you.
Yes,
we
each really one
hear
of
from you. You guys. We're listening. We're listening. We really want to hear from everybody. You know,
there's a lot more.
And I know there is, but we want to find out what your concerns are because.
Okay. Yeah. So, Tom Anderson.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on down.
Hey.
My name is Tom Anderson. I've lived in Jacksonville for going on 20 years. Retired 2 years ago or so from CSX and bought a little bitty 17-foot Scout, which, despite my best efforts, I've proven that I am not very good at fishing. So what I do is I drive my boat up and down this river in Pottsburg Creek. And as you know, if you've been out there, it's a really peaceful place to enjoy the day out of the water. Not a lot of traffic out there. There's a lot of grass, there's a lot of birds, and a lot of wildlife. And you can hang out and enjoy the river. And it's one of the great things about living in Jacksonville. It's one of the reasons that I love being in the city, that I've raised our family here and everything else. I'm also the parent of the coxswain and the state championship winning girls junior varsity 8 from the first football team sitting right over there.
Very nice. Yay.
Very good.
Sarasota won a state championship, great big trophy. It's a photo finish. I got on my phone if you guys want to look at it.
Trophy's bigger than she is.
So I think, the truth is there's a lot of different interests to accommodate here, which is why y'all get paid the big bucks. If it was easy, anybody could do it, as they say. But if there were one clear, easy answer to this, somebody would have done it a long time ago.
Right.
The problem is there are conflicting uses mm-hmm. of a shared resource, mm-hmm. a valuable resource that everybody in this community has a right to enjoy. And these kids have a right to safely enjoy and practice a sport that they love so they can go and represent the city of Jacksonville and win state championships and regional championships and national championships and everything else. And your task as members of the Waterways Commission, I don't mean to tell you your job, but as a voter, I think your task as a public servant is to figure out what's the least restrictive means that you can use to accommodate everybody's shared use of this mm-hmm. resource.
Bingo.
So that everybody can be out there using the river safely and enjoying themselves in their free time, just like I do, just like everybody else wants to do out there. Mm-hmm. I submit for the sake of argument that putting a slow speed minimum wake zone, not an idle no wake zone, but a slow speed minimum wake zone, which as you well recognize are two different things, and what has been proposed is a slow speed zone, not a no wake idle zone, on either side of that bridge, which I honestly don't understand how anybody who's ever been out there and driven a boat through doesn't understand that it's unsafe to operate a boat at those speeds through that area. And you said we can't legislate common sense, and that's true, but we make rules so that when somebody does go through there that fast, you can call JSO, you can call the FDP and say, there's people violating the wake zone, and they can come out there and do something about it. And I submit that doing that is the least restrictive means that can accomplish your public charge to let everybody use this river.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
And congratulations to your daughter.
Thanks.
Very neat. Very cool.
Floyd Carroll.
Hi, my name is Floyd Carroll. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I've lived boaters on it. I've been on Possible Creek right past the accessory bridge for 25 years. And, of course, as we know, there's been no accidents. That's part of the statute, that there's no accidents, there's no ticketing. There is, and as we all know, you can't legislate accidents. I mean, you can't stop accidents. We have traffic lights, stop signs, yield signs, and the police are busy all day long with people that don't obey the rules. So what everybody has brought up sounds like a law enforcement problem to stop certain individuals. As responsible voters like we are here, I mean, we're very respectful to the rowers, but if it was truly a safety thing for the kids, and that is a private club, we're the public taxpayers, that's a nonprofit. If it was truly about the safety thing for the kids, they would not be on in Pottsburg except past the University Bridge and out behind the island where it's very wide. They have a ton of room past it. It gets very wide past the University Bridge. Over on the left, it's shallow. We have to stay over on the right. We're in the middle where the channel is. So there's a ton of room for them to have four or five or six boats, whatever it is. And I know J.U. rows over there behind the island. I seen them a couple days ago. So if it was truly about that, I wouldn't have my kid rowing in that narrow river, especially on low tide. It restricts us even more. But we've been doing this forever and ever. That's a private club that has come on the river knowing the boats were there. If you want to mark the channel, I don't think there are channel markers on the accessory bridge, like a lot of bridges. So you can move. There's plenty of water. I know the depth. I fish it. I live it. You can move that channel mark. The channel marks on two sets of pilots, red and green, whatever. You can move that quite a ways over towards the other side of the bridge. Accessory, I mean, university, not so much. But I know on the accessory bridge, you can move over several sets of pilings away from them. But if I was them, I would go straight to the wide part of the river and stay out of that shallow creek. And I know it's going to cost a lot of money to do this. I don't really want my tax money going to put up those signs. And you're going to be restricting everybody, every boater in Jacksonville, not just the people who put it in Beach Boulevard, Arlington, Fort Caroline. They all come up there and visit, like the one Tom Anderson said. And traffic, you know, traffic stuff isn't going to stop that jet skier to hit the pylon the other night. Traffic signals or slow speed zones or nothing. And people break the law all day long, every day. And 99% of the boaters are safe. And special events, you know, the Halloween thing or whatever it is, we're all respectful of that. I've got 11 grandkids and they're all sport. They're all in sports. And I follow them everywhere. So I'm totally aware, sports are great. It sets a bad precedent. Mm-hmm. Who's going to want one next? Episcopal's on the curve. Right. Who's going to want one next? Are we going to be further restricted?
Thank you so much.
And, huh?
That was 3 minutes. Mike Murphy.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Murphy. Let me give you maybe a little bit more history, maybe why we're here today. Back in about 1996, the Stanton Rowing Club received bond money from the city of Jacksonville for a property off of Riverbank Court, which is off of Atlantic Boulevard, about 2 acres of property. So after they operated there for several years, there were some zoning issues. So the city passed a zoning ordinance back in about 2005. It was 2005, and then after several court battles, the District Court of Appeals of Florida struck down that ordinance, and so basically they could not operate on that property, so they had to move, and so they moved to the accessory boulevard location, and that is private property. Their docks are not accessible to the general voting public.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Hill, did you want to take your time?
Can I give it a little bit? Okay.
Would you
ever
say all the good things?
Dan speeds on the river. I'm George Hill, live on the river, right up from the rowing docks. You know, we did this before a few years back.
probably 11 years back when we had the same meetings and everybody agreed then, let's share the river. And that's where we're at now. We can do it. We've done it all this time, and we need to continue doing it. Just the whole thing, everybody on the river really gets along. You know, I mean, they really do. So we can do this if, you know, you guys can make it happen. Share the river. Okay?
I love that. Mr. Nooney sitting back there quietly.
Well, hello. My name is John Nooney. My name and address is on file. I got my Brian Kilmeade shirt on today. You know, Jacksonville's a mess. And, you know, I live on Pottsburg Creek. And, you know, to the speakers that have been here before and actually live right next to where, you know, this issue is taking place, you know, I can just appreciate, you know, the years of history that you have, you know, watching this. I'm farther back in the creek, you know, so I don't have that boat traffic. But, you know, here's the map, you know, and then, yeah, and Arlington River, then we have Pottsburg Creek. So, you know, over the years, you know, with Duval County, and, you know, we've heard the mention of Shad Creek, you know, there's over on the west side, you know, all the waterways and the tributaries. You know, there's, even though maybe the boat registrations are down, but, you know, the vessels, the jet skis, I mean, you know, those things zip. And, you know, so we're, with safety in mind, I remember Dr. White, at one of the waterway meetings, you know, we have two artificial reefs, south of the Fuller Warren. One of the suggestions was to get somebody to put up a camera so that they could monitor, you know, just to see if anyone's even using those reefs. So that same type of principle could be utilized. You already have neighbors that are there. And, you know, we just passed legislation that had to do with anchoring legislation. And that's going to be a test area. So, you know, the use of a camera, and when I mentioned the anchoring legislation, you know, the fact there was that the different enforcement agencies were taken out of that equation, like the FWC. You know, you've got, in other words, it's only going to be JSO that's going to oversee that. So, now, is that good or bad? But anyway, I know I can go on. Gosh, I missed the game clock. But anyway, a couple more things. The one gentleman alluded to, you know, with the legislation back in 2005. You know, also, you know, we're looking at waterways activation, which is for the entire county. So, you know, you take these rowing clubs, you know, if anything, you know, they're traveling out of Duval to participate. So at the same time, you know, that they want to have these restrictions in place, you know, in my mind, is to eventually, you know, bring people to Jacksonville to show them what we have. But then at the same time,
just 3 minutes.
You know, there are those suggestions. You know, go to the, you know, bigger, wider areas of the river, you know, instead of like these other places. Where
thank you, John.
Oh, I'm done?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Always glad to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, those were very, very poignant comments, and I appreciate each one of them. I certainly learned a few things, and I think that Mr. Ferraro and I have certainly some work that we can do on all of this, and I think Ms. Grandin has heard enough, and I see her scratching through things already.
Well, I'm going to ask you if I could ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
Just as follow-up to,
mm-hmm.
But are you finished?
Yes, because I do want to see, as soon as I looked over there and saw scratch marks.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I was taking notes.
Okay.
So, Lisa Alameda, if you wouldn't mind coming up, I have just a question for you to follow up on one of the things you said about the Atlantic Boulevard Bridge.
Yes.
You said it has a slow zone. So let's see. The Atlantic Boulevard Bridge, where is it, over here?
Yes. It's okay. Off the map.
Okay, off the map.
I believe it's technically a no-skiing zone.
It's in 326.
Right, but it is...
It's a no-skiing zone.
No.
Right, but it's a different zone than the 300-foot zone was what my point was, and it's less feet.
So is it a no-skiing zone, or is it a slow-speed manatee zone?
It's not a manatee.
Okay.
It's a no-skiing zone.
Okay.
However, it is a slow zone that is less feet than the 300-foot buffer.
Okay.
Going up to Atlantic Boulevard, you have only about 60 yards.
Yeah.
It gives the distance in degrees, minutes, and seconds rather than in feet from the bridge.
Oh, it's a lat long. Latitude, longitude.
I believe that.
Okay.
Interrupts, but I think that ordinance was passed in about 1988, but it is in the section that you want to amend.
Okay.
It is a very tight bridge.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a different, very different bridge. It is a very tight bridge.
Do you know what the clearance is?
Okay.
Okay.
I need y'all to hold up because that's the only mic that picks up, so they don't hear anything.
I'm better than you. What the clearance is on that bridge?
Which bridge?
Have anything to do with why I brought up that. That up because it is a different type other than the 300 feet. It's less... area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was inquiring about it.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, who brought up the, if you were going, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
That if you had a different, on the pilings going through Cessory Bridge, you could have the red and green on one side and the red and green on the other side. And anyway, to separate the traffic, I can't remember who said that, but if you wouldn't mind coming up to the microphone, is there a place? Because, so for boaters, would you be able to mark it under the bridge? Because I haven't been under that bridge in a vessel in a long time, so I can't visualize.
No, so when...
Is that right?
You have to come up there.
There's no markers. We're trying to record this, so we can't hear.
There's no markers on the bridge currently. I think there are some on University because they just rebuilt it, but there's no markers on. There's not on that bridge, is it? Okay. The channel on University is way over towards Clifton. That's where the channel is. Mm-hmm. The river is more narrow at Cessory. And it can be moved over several sets of pilings away from their docks. You know, the wakes would be further away easily because I know how deep the water is. It's about the same all the way to the last couple sets of pilings on the, you know, opposite them, on the Cessory Bridge. So the channel could be moved over there easily. There's plenty of water.
Okay.
Can I ask something about the channel if I step to the mic?
What if you come
just
up here?
For information.
Yeah. That's helpful.
Somebody can help me out with time, but this channel was never marked previous to about 3 or 4 years ago when they got the grant to do the dredging. So they dredged the triangle that's out in the Arlington River, and at that same time with that grant, they marked the channel. Previous to that, the channel was never marked. And the channel kind of doesn't make sense also, just adding that in. And so there can be, we believe as boaters based on depth, a change in the channel.
It's good to know that.
Okay. Yeah, that is.
Okay. And my final question was, and it's to you, Davis, is the First Coast Rowing Club a private club or can I join and row there?
It is an open youth club. It's a nonprofit. And it was established so that youth can row there. We do have adults that can keep their boats and row out of there. Anybody can. It's not, there's no exclusion issue. Mm. But it is geared towards youth. And the club next door between the two bridges, Jacksonville Rowing Club, is geared more towards adults. So usually adults row out of JRC and they send their kids to First Coast.
Okay.
But we were established for children.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
We do have a number of adults, yes.
But David, sorry, the answer to her question is yes, right?
Yeah.
If she had a boat, then yes.
If I had my own shell, then yes.
You're a lawyer too, so the answer to her question is yes, she can join.
If you pay dues, it's not open
right.
to the public to come use.
No, it's not.
Right.
No,
right.
We've never claimed it was a boat ramp.
I'm just saying it's not public.
We don't even have a ramp.
Okay.
Got
it's
it.
Okay.
Got it.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's confusing.
So one of the things that I sit noticing is we have more people agreeing in different ways.
Yes.
I mean, taking the path is a little different, but it mm-hmm. seems like everybody here is agreeing that the you want to be able to move the channel, you want to be able to have the boats going and not having to go as close to the docks mm-hmm. and to the kids in the boat. So I mean, this is already a big thing because mm-hmm. I'm here and just listening to everybody to where they agree. It's just how we get to that point
correct.
Of what we're doing. So,
Council, just all due respect, these are the responsible people.
Right.
Self-identified, and I agree with you. Okay, these are the responsible voters. They know where City Hall is. They know how to get here. They these are not the people we're worried about.
Correct.
Right. And we get that.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't there a 25-mile-an-hour boating speed limit in Jacksonville Ferry along one way?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Floyd Carroll. Floyd Carroll, yes. I believe there's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit.
There is.
Is there?
There is.
I didn't know that.
Yes, there is.
I didn't
channel.
Know.
Yes.
Their whole river?
Yes, 100%.
I think
we need to find out.
See, this is why we want to record it. We want to find out. We want to
right.
look into it.
Right. Actually, next time we probably need the microphones a little, you know, out there rather than up here just because, you know, then you can talk. But I will tell you that the reason we do it like that is so we won't talk over each other. When we talk over each other, it doesn't do any of us any good, and then we can't get the information that we need. I am going to close it up today. I will tell you, like I started saying, we have gotten so much information, and as Mr. Ferraro said, I think we're all moving in the right direction, and it really is the same direction. All of us want safety, bottom line. Everybody wants us to be safe. It's just how do we, you know, manage both sides and get right here where we need to be in the middle of the river. The other thing is I believe that Ms. Grandin has a lot more information than where we started. And with that information, you're going to certainly be able to do a little more research on some things that can be beneficial to the legislation. So as I said, I do have a town hall meeting on Monday the 27th. I don't know if there's going to be any earth-shattering information that can be gained from that.
I think this calls for a boat trip.
A boat trip, absolutely.
Come on over in the weekend.
Whoa.
I'm be careful what you ask for. I'm going to take you up on it. I'm like a cat. And if you don't mind, I do want to say that I think you summed it up. I think you summed it up really well. We want to come up with a way of fixing it to where everybody's happy with it with the least amount of government restrictions.
And so we can all share the
That's really where we're trying to go with it.
Absolutely.
Because I agree it's a question of law enforcement, but if there's no posted law, here we are, you're the Waterways Commission, and you're not even all aware of what the speed limit is by law, what it isn't. Is there a problem in establishing and posting what that law is? It's 25 miles an hour. I'm just so baffled by why we can't have a posted speed control. I think everybody wants it to be safe. They're not mutually exclusive. Moving the channel over is not mutually exclusive to slowing people down. And I like Tom Anderson's suggestion that we have you guys sit on the bow of a boat going through there at 45 miles an hour and decide for yourself whether that's a crazy Disney ride or whether that's safe.
Well, just for your edification, our meeting is ended. And we thank you all for joining us. Hard stop at 5. And you guys can talk. Thank you.